Blog Talk Radio.
In podcast land. This is Nurse Carmen. Welcome to a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is the Messenger Edition. We thank you for tuning in and welcome for joining us. And now you have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and once again, welcome all to this edition, this conversation that we're having. The question is, why can't I do what I really want to do with my life and still make a living? Well, we've all been through this now a number of times. The people who make a living doing what they love are the people who insist on doing so. They don't give up. They never give in. They dare life not to let them do what they love. But there's another element that must be brought up, because this is the missing element in most people's understanding when it comes to life work. There's a difference between being and doing, and most people have placed their emphasis on the latter. And then you say, well, shouldn't they? And I say, there's no should or should not involved. There's only what you choose and how you can have it. If you choose peace and joy and love, you won't get much of it through what you're doing. If you choose happiness and contentment, you'll find a little of that on the path of doing this. If you choose reunion with God, supreme knowing, deep understanding, endless compassion, total awareness, absolute fulfillment, you won't achieve much of that out of what you're doing. In other words, if you choose evolution, the evolution of your soul, you won't produce that by the worldly activities of your body. Doing is a function of the body. Being is a function of the soul. The body is always doing something. Every minute of every day, it's up to something. It never stops. It never rests. It's constantly doing something. It's either doing what it's doing at the behest of the soul or in spite of the soul. The quality of your life hangs in the balance. The soul is forever being. It is being what it is being, regardless of what the body is doing, not because of what it is doing. If you think your life is about doing this, you do not understand what you are about. Your soul doesn't care what you do for a living. When your life is over, neither will you. Your soul cares only about what you're being while you're doing whatever you're doing. It is a state of beingness the soul is after, not a state of doingness. So what is the soul seeking to be? And the soul is seeking to be God. Yes, your soul is God, and it knows it. What it is doing is trying to experience that. And what it is remembering is that the best way to have this experience is by doing, by not doing anything. There is nothing to do but to be. So you say, be what? Whatever you want to be. Happy, sad, weak, joyful, vengeful, insightful, blind, good, bad, male, female, you name it. I mean, that literally, you name it. This is all very profound. But what does it have to do with your career? You're trying to find a way to stay alive, to survive, to support yourself and family, doing what you like to do. Try being what you like to be. So you say, what does that mean? Some people make lots of money doing what they do. Others can't make a go of it, and they're doing the same thing. What makes the difference? Some people have more skills than others. That's the first cut. But now we got to get to the second cut. Now we're down to two people with relatively equal skills. Both graduated from college. Both were at the top of their class. Both understand the nature of what they're doing. Both know how to use their tools with great faculties. Yet one still does better than the other. One flourishes while the other struggles. What's that about? In other words, what are you doing, going to do? What are you going to be? That sounds like the answer to all questions. The soul is concerned only with what you are going to be. Are you going to be in a place called fear or in a place called love? Where are you and where are you coming from? Are you encountering life? Now, in the example of the two equal qualified workers, one is successful and the other is not. Not because of anything either is doing, but because of what both are being. One person is being open, friendly, caring, helpful, considerate, cheerful, confident, even joyful in her work. While the other is being closed, distant, uncaring, inconsiderate, grumpy, even resentful of what she's doing. Now, suppose you were to select an even loftier state of beingness. Suppose you were to select goodness, mercy, compassion, understanding, forgiving, love. What if you were to select godliness? What then would be your experience? You are not on this planet to produce anything with your body. You are on this planet to produce something with your soul. Your body is simply and merely the tool of your soul. Your mind is the power that makes the body go. So what you have here is a power tool used in the creation of the soul's desire. And you may say, well, what is the soul's desire? You say the soul is seeking. The soul is seeking to be God. Then that is the soul's desire. In the broadest sense, yes. But this it is seeking to be is very complex, very multidimensional, multisensual, multifaceted. There are a million aspects to God, a billion, a trillion, you see. There is the profound and there is the profane and the profound, the lesser and the larger, the hollow and the holy, the ghastly and the godly. God is the Alpha and the Omega. that was not just a pretty saying or a nifty concept. That was true expression. So in seeking to be God, the soul has a grand job ahead of it, an enormous menu of beingness from which to choose. And that is what it's doing in this moment now. Choosing states of being. Yes, then producing the right and perfect condition within which to create the experience of that. It is therefore true that nothing happens to you or through you that is not for your own highest good. Let us say that the soul leads you to the right and perfect opportunity for you to experience exactly what you have planned to experience. What you actually experience is up to you. It could be what you plan to experience, or it could be something else, depending upon what you choose. So you say, well, why would I choose something I don't wish to experience? And I say to you, I don't know. Why would you? Do you think that sometimes the soul wishes one thing and the body or the mind wishes another? What do you think? How can the body or the mind overrule the soul? Doesn't the soul always get what it wants? The spirit of you seeks, in the largest sense, the grandest moment when you have conscious awareness of its wishes and joy, and join in joyful oneness with them. But the spirit will never, ever force its desires on the present, conscious, physical part of you. That saying, the Father will not force his will upon the Son. It is a violation of his very nature to do so, and thus quite literally impossible. The Son will not force his will upon the Holy Spirit. It is against his very nature to do so, and thus quite literally impossible. The Holy Spirit will not force its will upon your soul. It is outside of the nature of the Spirit to do so, and thus quite literally impossible. Here is where the impossibilities end. The mind often does seek to exert its will on the body, and does so. Similarly, the body seems often to control the mind, and frequently succeeds. Yet the body and the mind together do not have to do anything to control the soul, for the soul is completely without need. Unlike the body and the mind, which are shackled with needs, and so allows the body and the mind to have their way all the time. Indeed, the soul would have it no other way, but it is the entity which is you is to create, and thus knows who it really is. It must be through an act of conscious volition, not an act of unconscious obedience. Obedience is not creation, and thus can never produce salvation. Obedience is a response, while creation is pure choice, undictated, unrequited. Pure choice produces salvation through the pure creation of highest ideas in this moment now. The function of the soul is to indicate its desire, not impose it. This is why I'm always talking about listen to what it is that you're telling yourself, because it's not going to make you do it. It's just going to suggest it. If you want a better outcome, you'll listen to it. And then we also have to understand that that outcome totally depends upon us. And I'll give you an example. There's people that all their life want a whole bunch of money. And then when they get that money, they're just as miserable as they were before they got it. So once again, it's about being and not doing. It's beingness. Who am I? Not what am I doing? And this is why it's important that you can't judge people. Because it's not about what you're doing. It's what about what you're being. And just a crazy example that just came to me. If you see somebody drinking, because, you know, we seem to think that that's just so taboo and against God and stuff. We don't know that person drinking, and I'm stretching this, but that person drinking could be helping somebody. Because what they drank, the other person didn't get to drink, and then that person didn't go into a coma. And, of course, I'm taking it to the extreme, but I'm just trying to show us how we've got to learn how to be who we are and stop being so concerned about everybody else but us. As they say, you've got to get your own house in order. And then when you're able to get your own house in order, you'll begin to see things differently. And it might not change what you're doing, but it will change how you're being. As an example that I used just moments ago, at work, you go to work, you see some people just as miserable as they can be. And then there's other people at that same job, excuse me, doing the exact same thing, just as happy as they can be. It's about beingness. The function of the soul is to indicate its desire, not to impose it. The function of the mind is to choose from its alternatives. The function of the body is to act out that choice. When body, mind, and soul create togetherness, together in harmony and in unity, God is made flesh. God is made flesh. When the mind, body, and soul are working together, then does the soul know itself in its own experience. Then do the heavens rejoice. Right now, in this moment, your soul has again created an opportunity for you to be, do, and have what it takes to know who you really are. Your soul has brought you to the word you are hearing now, as it has brought you to words of wisdom and truth before. What will you do now? What will you choose to be? Your soul waits and watches with interest, as it has many times before. And then you say, well, do I understand it me to be saying that out of the state of beingness, I select that my worldly success? Am I still trying to talk about my career, how it will be determined? And you have to understand this. God is not concerned about your worldly success. Only you. It is true that when you achieve certain states of being over a long period of time, success is what you are doing in the world is very difficult to avoid. Yet you are not to worry about making a living. True masters are those who have chosen to make a life rather than a living. From certain states of being which spring a life so rich, so full, so magnificent, and so rewarding that worldly goods and worldly success will be of no concern to you. Life's irony is that as soon as worldly goods and worldly success are of no concern to you, the way is open for them to flow to you. Remember, you cannot have what you want, but you may experience whatever you have. And you guys know, and I just had to stop because you know I've said this numerous times, that you cannot have what it is that you want. So I want you to know that I'm not contradicting what it is that I'm saying. You cannot have whatever you want,
Why can't I have whatever I want, brother?
You can't have whatever you want, my brother, because when you say you want something and you speak to the universe saying you want, what the universe is doing is giving you that wanting feeling. So you're not getting, per se, what it is that you want, but it's giving you the wanting feeling of what it is that you say you want. Do you understand what I'm saying by that?
Yes, I understand it.
I want money, so it gives you the want of money.
So we have to change our perspective on what we ask the universe. I have money instead of I want money.
Hello. Because what we have to understand, once again, that our words are commands to the commandments to the universe. So you have to, just as you said, Brother Co-Producer, if you've got to watch what it is that you're saying. Now, when you say you want something, what you're actually telling them is you don't have it. And if you're saying you don't have it, then what you're not understanding is it's already coming to you before you even ask for it. But then when you turn around and say you want it, you're saying you don't have it. So when Jesus, when they said, God said, I am that I am. That covered everything. I am Alpha and Omega. He didn't say, I want to be. I am that I am. I am rich. When I say I am rich, then that commandment goes out to him. But you have to understand that when I said I am rich, that does not necessarily mean I got a pocket full of money. It means I could be rich in love.
Amen.
I can be rich in help. I can be rich in all kind of different things. So what we have to understand is we have the entire universe at our beck and call. So we've got to be careful because there is power in the word. But see, this is something that has been misquoted because they think it's power in that book. But it is the power in your word. And this is why through some of our conversations I spoke about, there is so much stuff that we can do, but we, me and the co-producer had a conversation one time, and I was trying to explain to it. We like to say in Jesus' name. But we have just as much authority. We can say in our name. When we know who, when we know that we know, why? Because we know that Jesus and I are one. That same spirit that is within me is within Jesus, and it is one. And then we have to come to the realization that I am not this body. This body is just a vessel for the soul. And the soul is demanding. Why? Because when you know that you got everything and you are everything, you don't worry about anything. And even with these mass murderers, these so-called crazy people that we call crazy and stuff like that, the soul is still there, but the soul doesn't worry about it. Why? Because the soul knows who he is or what it is, who she is. The soul knows. Any of us got $500 in the bank and the light bill come for $100. Any of us going to worry about it?
Nope.
Because you know you got that. That's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the soul is. The soul knows I got this. I can't lose. And so this is what we need to come to the knowledge of, that we can't lose. And it's all in our, it's all in the words that we speak and our being. And And I'll give you guys another good example just to show. You know, I hate to use the co-producer on this, but let me tell you something about the co-producer, y'all. All right? The co-producer thinks absolutely, not in a negative sense, but the co-producer thinks absolutely nothing of money. I'm not saying he don't like money. I'm saying when the co-producer get money, co-producer go all out. That's how he do. Okay? And because he goes all out, not too often, I'm not saying he don't ever come into a pinch, but 90%, 99% of the time, he got to do what he got to do. Because he's not putting that emphasis on wanting it, because of the fact that he knows he got it.
Right.
And if he don't have it in his pocket right this second, he know if he need it, he got it. So he doesn't concern himself with it as much. Sometimes I try to get him to hold on to it a little bit. He'd be looking at me like, don't mess with me with this. I got this. Go and get yourself an extra ice cream sandwich. but this is the mentality that we have to understand when we come to know who we are. You cannot have anything you want. The very act of wanting something pushes it away from you. Word is creative, okay? Action is creative. Thoughts, words, and deeds are the three levels of creation still with God. Okay, now let's take worldly success as our subject for the moment, since that's what we've been talking about. Now, do you have a thought, I want worldly success? And do you also sometimes have the thought, I want more money? You can therefore neither have worldly success nor more money, because the universe has no choice but to bring you the direct manifestation of your thought about it. Your thought is, I want worldly success. You understand? The creative power is like a genie in a bottle. Your words are its commands. Then you say, then why don't I have more success? I say, your words are its commands. Now, your words were, I want success. And the universe says, okay. The universe says, okay, is 90 seconds, and now you're going to have to really come back next week to find out just what it is that the universe says.
Oh, we going with the marketing advertisement right now.
There you go. All right.
He's doing a little marketing for the message. Hey, but listen, this is co-producer. I do thank you for joining us on the podcast tonight. And one thing I want to say, as I listen to the words of the messenger tonight, it sounds like he was talking about Jesus. When he gave the examples, it sounded to me, I drifted back into my younger days, and it sounded like he was talking about Jesus. And then I remembered, we are Jesus, man. We are we are not Jesus. Jesus is his own person. We are all equal in the Creator's eyes. I'll put it like that. I don't want anybody to take that the wrong way. We are all equal in power, strength, and the ability to serve the Creator as the prophet Jesus was.
All right.
But again, I do want to thank you for hanging out with us tonight, listen to the podcast. And again, this is a message that's not going away. So again, I ask you to tell a friend, that the Messenger podcast will be back again this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Have a nice Amen. Evening, everyone, and I'll talk
you
to you later.
Too. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.